Come on, we got my table is coming out. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm excited for this week and next week. It's going to be a little different, but it's going to be powerful in a sense of who we are as a church and what we believe in the Bible. And we come to this place. Look at you double-fisted right now, dude. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it's unreal. Like, you got the chair. Listen, we got to bring it forward or Mike yells at us. Sean, you're out of the picture. You need to be in the light. Sean, you need to be the people need to see. Dude, does Nathan do anything? I mean, you're like the trifecta, Matt Cobb. How about Matt Cobb last week? Can we say thank you for that? That was amazing. So thankful. Ownership, stewardship, pump for FPU. That's going to be incredible. Come on, if you missed last week, catch it up online. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Come on, you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, 11 o'clock, A game. Let's go. I got to sit down. I asked somebody, how did that work? It kept you focused. I'm like, all right, it kept me focused in my seat. Come on, we got to talk about some things and understand where we're at as a church, where we're at in the Bible, where we're at as a nation. Man, if you would turn me, please, to John 17. And we're going to cover some things this week and next week, and we're going to get into the process of sanctification and beginning to really understand if you truly are in Christ, you are not of this world. Where Jesus himself said, listen, you are different. You are separate from the world. Don't be surprised when the world comes against you. They have an agenda. Jesus says there is this process called sanctify and sanctification, which when you are in Christ, truly in Christ, not by lip service, but all in by heart. Jesus himself said, listen, there are those who honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We're not those people. We will honor him with our lips, but we will follow him with our heart. And we will walk in this place. If I am truly in Christ, then I am sanctified. And sanctified means to be set apart. And sanctified means in this process of holiness that we are separate from the world. And we're going to go over a couple things as we have some time, and we'll get back into this even next week, and we're going to look through today some scripture, and then we're going to spend some time looking at President O'Biden and Vice President Harris, and we will respect them as our president and vice president, and we will pray for them as we are called to pray for them. But I think there's a difference from praying for different presidents, and I personally pray for our president and vice president a little differently than I pray for other presidents and vice presidents. So I think you look at who's America has voted in, and I'm going to just stop for a second. I don't care what your opinion is in a sense of whether it was cheated or stolen or votes or guess who sits in the White House and guess who's writing executive orders. So we can go down that stupid, dusty road. And the Supreme Court saw nothing. They didn't vote anything against any crimes being done. So let that boat just sail, and let's get into where we're at today. Can we do that, please? Like, seriously, we need to get past the whole stolen thing and get into who's in the White House and start dealing with some things, churches, we have to deal with it, right? Because sometimes we think our opinion matters when something is already past gone. And please hear this. There is one opinion that matters, and it truly is our God and Savior. So let's listen to his opinion, and let's look at some things biblically, and let's look at where America is. And like I said, this is going to be a little different from what you're used to here at BC, but if you are a part of this family, let me say this, and we'll pray, and then we'll fly. Listen, if you are a part of Believer's Chapel, and you've been here any time at all, and you call this place your home, then anything that's said today will not be a surprise to you, period. If you're online, and you're watching, and you've been a part of BC, you're not going to be surprised by anything that's said today. And we walk in this place to realize, you're going to have to understand, we're going to go some things that we would look at as being very negative and being a bummer, but the reality is the separation that's taken place, hear me please, the separation that's taken place between a progressive woke church that seems to be okay with sin compared to the Bible church that's going to stand hard on the foundation of the Bible, what's going to happen is when there has been so much, this is not prophecy, this is not thus saith the Lord, this is what I am hoping to happen, is when people get so sick and tired of the nonsense and the lies and just the sense of taking the Bible and ignoring it here in America, I think people are going to be so hungry for truth that they're going to flock to churches who are preaching truth. And I'm not saying BC. That will happen at BC. But just so you know, as you do know, you've heard me say, every Sunday I do my little rattle run and I drive and I pray and I find myself in these, and I go to all of the churches that are preaching and standing firm to the Word of God and not budging to public opinion or political opinion, but standing firm on only God's opinion. And I pray over them and I pray over their congregations and I pray over the pastors that they will preach truth and that God will move in their congregation in this crazy season that we are in when society is off center. The bubble is no longer in the middle here in America, man. We are tilted and we've been off center for a while, but now it's really getting off center big time. And what happens when you start to just stand on the Word of God and you preach truth, people will see the nonsense and they will be hungry for truth. And God will lead people in our region to Bible preaching churches. And I'm going to believe that that's going to happen. I'm excited about that. Can we say amen to that? Come on, amen. Oh, 11 o'clock. You're ready. 9 o'clock, we're sleeping, but you guys are on your A game. Let's go. I want to read from John 17, if you'd look with me, because the first thing we need to identify is who we are as followers of Christ. And please know this, man. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy that America truly was founded on the Word of God? It was in our schools. It was a textbook in our schools. We would pray before class. It was a foundation of if you couldn't read, how did they teach people to read? You read out of the Holy Scripture. It was a part of our foundation in America. How far have we gone that when you actually just preach the very book that we were founded on, in the freedom of religion, in the freedom of speech, being able to preach this truth, why is it, how far has America gone that, why is it that when you actually speak this, America's surprised? It's crazy. You actually just read this and preach this, and America is surprised when this actually used to be our foundation. How far have we gone? And you walk in a place to realize, you see the decay. And guess what? Please hear this. And we got to know this, man. We got to understand this. The Bible wasn't written for America. It's not a Western book. It's actually an Eastern book. It was written for obviously by those in Eastern culture. It wasn't written for America. Stop Americanizing the Scripture and come back to a place to just believe the Scripture in the way that it was written. But please hear me. It was written to America because God so loved the world. So you got to come to a place and say, okay, I'm not going to Americanize Scripture. I'm not going to be political in a sense of Scripture. I'm going to come to a place and see, what did God say? I'm going to put my stone in that, and I'm going to put my stake in that and say, I'm just going to believe this, whether I'm American or not, because this is what God said. Can we just understand that, please, right? Come on, I want you to see this. John 17 says this. I love it. John 17, verse 13. This is stunning because this is Jesus praying out to the Father. This is Jesus, the Son of God, praying out to his Father. And this is right before the cross. This is the end game. This is where Jesus is. And he comes to the place. And guess what he's praying? He's praying for me. And he's praying for you. It's amazing that Jesus crying out to the Father in prayer has me and you in mind before the cross. And this is what he says. This is amazing. Look at this. But now, verse 13, but now I come to you. This is Jesus, the Son of God, coming to Father God. And these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. That's amazing. He's about to drop a bomb on us here, how the world's going to hate him and how the world hates going to hate us. And he says the amazing statement of, listen, but yet they should still be full of joy. They should walk in this place that the joy within them, it will be complete. It will be full. And it's not just a fake joy. It's my joy. That's a supernatural joy. So if you walk in a place and you allow politics to steal your joy, you allow people to steal your joy, you allow things to steal your joy, this isn't that. This is a supernatural joy that politics can't steal and people can't steal and things can't steal. And you walk in this place to believe what Jesus said, saying, listen, this is what I want. Father, I want them to be full and complete of my joy. That's stunning. So if you allow politics to steal your joy, listen, I love my season of life. I'm in a great season of life, regardless of politics or people. I love where my family is. I love where my marriage is. I love the honor of being the pastor of this church. What a privilege. I love my season of life. And you're going to hear today and next Sunday, you're going to hear what it looks like for the victorious church to own your season and love the season that we're in. Because our God knows the beginning to the end, and he's looking for the church that will hold their ground to truth. And that will be where God's blessing is. And people are going to come to a place to know God as Lord and Savior, to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by the great love of the Father. And we understand where Jesus said, listen, listen, that they may know my joy. If politics has stolen your joy, that's on you. If people have stolen your joy, that's on you. I grew up in a house where my dad would say, Sean, don't let it steal your joy. Sean, don't let it steal your joy. Why? Because it's a supernatural joy that comes from Christ himself. His joy made full in me. Not political. It's not seasonal. It's not people. Right? So we got to dive into this thing to say, no, listen, I'm going to be real with Jesus. I'm going to walk in his place to be full of joy. Watch what he says. For I have given them your word. And the world has hated them. Please hear this. Please hear this. You got a choice to make. You can't have both. It's either the word or the world. It's either the word or it's the world. You choose. We're coming to a place, even here in America, where we are called to have free speech, particularly even preaching the scripture. Well, there is going to be this, and I'm excited about this, there's going to be this Grand Canyon divide, and I'm talking in churches. I'm not talking in the world. I'm talking in the churches. Those who will hold true to the word and those who will cater it to the world. And you're seeing that in the progressive church. They're catering and changing the word to suit their world. You can't have both. You can't have both. And you see this progressive woke church that truly is beginning to change the word and to suit their own lifestyle and to suit their own world for the world view compared to God's view, and they're missing it. And you can either have the word or the world, but you can't have both. Watch what he says. Watch this. Here's what it says. For I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I do not ask, this is huge, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. This is Jesus praying out to the Father, say, hey, God, I'm not asking you to remove them, but I'm asking you to protect them. I don't want you to take them out. Wouldn't it be amazing if the moment you truly repent and believe and you get saved, you just, boop, gone. Wouldn't that be incredible? Like, personally, I'd love, like, hey, gave your life to Jesus. Oh, instantly you're home with Jesus. Like in that moment. No, Jesus said, listen, listen, I'm not asking you to take him out of the world, but I am asking that you would protect him from the evil one. Watch this. I love this. I love this. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Look at what he says. Sanctify them in truth. I love that. He says, listen, I'm not asking you to take them out of it, but they need to know they're not of it. There's a purpose for you and I, Christ followers, to be in this world today. And there is a timing, a perfect timing, that God Almighty, who knows all things, says Sean Obergefell is going to be born on August 15th, 1969, at this particular time, in this particular place, in this particular village called Hornell. We're living in Alfred, being born in Hornell on this particular exact moment in history of time, because I've got a plan and a purpose for him in this season. And I'm not asking that he be removed from the world. No, I need him in the world, but I need him to know that he is not a part of the world. There's a huge difference. And church, I love that we are in a season. And you know, through the week, you can have crazy conversations about, man, what is it going to look like for my kids? And what is it going to look like for our grandkids here in America? What's that going to look like if they hold the line? And then you come back to the simplicity of being reminded that God actually set the absolute chart of exactly when your kids were to be born in the perfect season, because he set the chart way back when your great-great-great-great-grandfather was born, going down the line to exact your seed when that was planted within your mom, and then you were born, and then you get married, and you see where even your grandkids, for such a time as this, completely under God's plan. And that brings peace to me to say, you know what, God, you're right. You're in charge. You know every seed that's planted. You're good. And I'm going to just trust you for it. Build up our warriors so they can walk right with the Lord. Watch this, watch this, watch this. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Here it is, verse 17. Sanctify them in truth. Listen. God, they need to know this. They're not a part of the world, but yet they're in the world. I don't want you to remove them from the world, but God, I need them to know that you need to sanctify them, which means you need to set them apart from the world. They're in it, but they're not a part of it. Matter of fact, they're set apart. They're different. Sanctify, it means to set apart. It means to walk holy. And he says this, sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. This has the first say, the second say, the only say, the last say is the word of God. If you have an opinion that is outside this, you're wrong. Let me say that again. If you have an opinion that's outside of this, you're wrong. This is truth. There is absolute truth, and it's this. If you want to get into the idea of, well, truth is what I say it is, you're wrong. Because Jesus says we are set apart by truth, for your word is truth. Your opinion outside of this is wrong. And we walk in this place. Please hear me. You're like, oh, this is, you're being a little aggressive. Well, hold on. Haven't even started yet. Give me a minute. I love you. Here we go. Look at this. Sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. And I love it. It's like Jesus is praying for you and I to be charged in the battle. And there is a fight, and there's been a fight for truth. And yet nothing has changed according to truth. He says, listen, the thing, watch this, please hear this, you got to know this. The thing that separates us, the thing that sanctifies us, the thing that makes us different from the worldview is the word of God. Period. And you walk in a place, watch this, look what Jesus says. As you sent me into the world, what's he do for me and you? I also have sent them into the world. Hold on, wait, what? Verse 15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil one, for they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Set them apart, because your word is truth. Set them apart. As you sent me, I send them. You know what Jesus' only plan is? The church. To stand for truth. Watch this. For their sake, I sanctify myself as they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Again, back to truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone. Here it is. I want you to see this. Verse 20. But for those also who believe in me through their word that they, watch that. That's speaking to me and you. I'm not asking just for these disciples. I'm asking for every person who will ever be saved off of their word. I love this, that I can identify that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before the cross, is praying for Sean Obergefell. God, that Sean will be set apart, that Sean will walk in sanctification, that Sean will know that he's in the world, but he's not a part of the world. Sean will know that I will keep him from the evil one, that he will walk in a place as a charge as I'm sending him in. Same thing for you. Put your name there. Jesus Christ is praying on your behalf that he is sending you in to walk in a place to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be in the world, but not a part of the world, and to walk in such a great difference based off of his truth. Watch this. Remember, he starts this with my joy may be full in them. My joy would be complete in them. And then he goes into the battle, right? Here it is. And I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. And they will all be one, even as you, Father, and me in one. And that they will be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I love this. Come on, quickly turn to Ephesians 5. And then I'm just going to have conversation. And we'll pick this up again next week. They say when I stand, I get a little excited, so I should sit down for just a minute. Here we go. And again, if you're new to Believers Chapel, you're watching online, I'm pumped that you're here today. And again, anyone who calls this place home, you know that we stand on the word of God and we're excited about it. And we will never be ashamed of the gospel and we will never be ashamed of truth because people's lives, their eternal lives are in the ballast. Don't ever forget that. We're a church who wants to win lives, and the only way to truly win lives and salvation is to speak truth. That's the only way it works. Ephesians 5, you're going to see the word sanctification again, and it's dealing with Christ and the church, and it's dealing with husband and wife and marriage. And I want you to see this, because there's a process here that's so beautiful. Ephesians 5:22. We're going to get into a marriage series coming up in probably a few weeks. I'm excited for that, to dive into that. It's going to be amazing for those who are not married, for those who are going to be married, for those who are married, for those who are struggling in their marriage, for those who've gone through the heartbreak and just the disaster of divorce and God's restoration, man. I'm excited about the series coming up. Verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ also is the head of the church. And look at the correlation of marriage between a husband and a wife, Christ and the church. Right? He's the head of the church. He himself being the savior of the body. Verse 24, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ also has loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he may sanctify her. I love this. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word so that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having, watch this, no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. There is this sanctification process that takes place that identifies the difference, that identifies the cleansing, that identifies that when we stand before the throne, we will be spotless. The church will be spotless. I love this. Without wrinkle, will be holy and blameless. Why? Because we have been set apart. Listen, we need to understand this. As a church, we need to understand this as followers of Christ, that if there's no sanctification in you and there's no change in you, please hear me, there's no Jesus in you. If you struggle with being okay with sin, well, I'm okay, and God says, no, this is sin, and you're okay with it, you need to be careful on the line that you're walking. Because there is this beautiful, amazing process that takes place called sanctification, and it's walking in this place of being blameless and holy because God is holy by the beautiful, precious blood of Jesus. And we walk in this place that even in marriage, husbands are called to sanctify and to cover and walk in a place to protect their wives. Please hear this, husbands. We'll get into this. Don't have time today. But do not allow any contaminants into your house or into your family. Because as Christ in the church sanctifies the church, he's relation to husbands walking in that place of presenting your bride spotless and blameless, that you didn't allow contaminants within your house because you've been set apart. There's so much to that. And we look at where we are today, and you look at the issues of America, and you look at a place where I want to go over some things. I've done a ton of research for a while now, and I've just kind of been waiting for a little bit to be able to just communicate this properly and well to the state of church and where this church will always stand. And please hear this. I'm either going to offend man or I'm going to offend God. Which one you think I'm really concerned with? And I mean this. I'm in no way concerned about what man thinks. I'm not concerned about the minnows trying to bite at people's heels. I'm not concerned about the opinion of man. Because guess what? I don't give an account to you. I give an account to God one day and stand before his throne as he's called me in this amazing privileged position as the pastor of this church to be your pastor and your shepherd. And what does that mean and what does that look like? If I start having wiggle room within scripture, you should leave the church. Because then I'm starting to please you and not stand before a holy God in my responsibility. Please understand, this is where my heart is and this is where I come from, that I am here to please my Father, and I'm here one day to stand before him, because I'm only at this table because he called me out of full-time police work, something that I absolutely loved. You'd have to take me out in a wheelchair to end that job. I absolutely loved every day of my job, and it's he who put me in this place, at this table, in this season, and I promise you that I will work to please and to make him proud of me, and I'm not too concerned about your opinion. Now, please hear that. Everything in me is that. And we get into this, and I want you to understand what is taking place in America and in our government. And you look at the great separation even in churches today. You have churches and pastors who are courageous, and you're starting to identify the spineless. You're starting to see cowards in the pulpit, and they refuse to stand on the word of God and truth. You're either seeing churches that are going to be firm in theology, or they're going to be firm in the culture. They're more worried about what the culture thinks and where culture is compared to what God's word, which is eternal, has said from the foundation. We will be a church that will stand on theology of God's word and not worry about where culture is. And we will walk in a place to identify and understand the true work that is ahead of us. And we are excited. We are excited to see what is going to take place in the biblical truth. And those who will stand on biblical truth, and we will see, I love this, we will see loyalties will be decided whether you're going to be on this side of the Grand Canyon in church that is firm on scripture, firm on the truth, unashamed of the gospel, standing on God's opinion only, or if you're on the other side of the Grand Canyon. I love that it's beginning to be identified as a Grand Canyon split between those who are just going to go after culture and not the word of God. And I'm telling you, watch this, because you understand that America's in a different place today, right? Truly, America was founded on scripture. It was founded on religious freedom. It was founded on the truth, and it was founded on freedom of speech so that we would never have interference with government when it comes to church and religion. That is America. It was in our schools. It was on 10 Commandments on our walls. Yet, and you begin to see that when that was that, listen, America had all kind of light spiritually, and it was difficult to identify the Christian to the non-Christian because everything was so bright. But that's changing to a place of it's now beginning easy, and I love this, to identify those who will walk in truth and those who will not, so that we know who we really need to win to Jesus Christ, and those who will be unashamed and bold as warriors as Jesus has called us to. To walk into place, to put on the armor and stand firm. Because when you get into, I don't have time to turn there, when you look at Revelation 21, it gives this amazing list of those who have eternal fire. The one that leads the list is the cowards. First to be mentioned is the cowards. You lead the list of those who are bound for eternity in hell. It's crazy. Come on, we look at this in a sense of what happened in the White House. And this is what my heart is. My heart grieved in a place where on January 20th, we see our President Biden and Vice President Harris. Where Vice President Biden, he puts his left hand on the Holy Bible. And he's sworn in by putting his hand on this book of truth. And yet in that same day, he takes his right hand and with his pen begins to violate so many things within this book. How is it on one hand, you put your hand on the Bible to be sworn in the United States of America president, but with your right hand, with a slice of a pen, you start violating the very truth at which you put your hand onto. It doesn't make sense. You start putting executive orders out in a sense of transgender, in a sense of abortion, and there's so many ideas of what they are violating in regards to the truth of God's word by the slice of ink of a pen. How is it that we can think that it's okay to put your hand on the Bible? And then prove yourself to be, as a combo of president and vice president, the most pro-abortion president and vice president that this nation has ever seen. And we will get much deep into that next week. And you, honestly, you come to a place to realize the truth of where we're at as a nation. and where we're at as a country to realize what is taking place from executive order stand, right? When you begin to understand and look at President Trump, in his first week put out 4 executive orders. President Obama put out 5 executive orders. President Bush put out 0 executive orders. President Biden wrote down 22 executive orders, which cancels out and undoes some things of past presidents, particularly President Trump. By a slice of a pen, just erases things that were put in order that were actually more in line with Scripture. President Trump is the most pro-life president that this country has seen in modern history. And by the slice of a pen, President Biden is trying to erase so much that he did for pro-life. And you come to a place to begin to see even what he did on and I want to put it up on the screen for you, even what he did in a sense of day one, January 20th. And if you could put that up, this is an executive order. And it's executive order 13988 of 2021. And please hear this. This is one of those things that when you read it, you need to pay attention to it. This isn't a new battle. This isn't anything new. But church, you and I, it is my responsibility as your pastor to kind of get you ready to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And if you don't know your current status and what's taking place, you can't do a proper work. And there's so much that we could go into on executive orders in regards to immigration, all kinds of different things. But I'm going to stick to just 2. Because they affect us. And both of them identified in Scripture as sinful. Listen, when you want to try to get into a transgender debate, listen, when you understand I'm only standing on the Word of God, my opinion on this doesn't matter. But this, please hear this. This here is a heterosexual book. In the beginning, God created a male and a female and said, be fruitful and multiply. He gave us the very first marriage between a husband and a wife, male and female. You have mother and father. You have son and daughter. You have brother and you have sister. Everything about this is heterosexual. Everything about this is male and female. Everything in this book screams 2 genders. That's it. 2. A male and a female. Not based off feeling, not based off emotion, not based off based off of gender. When you understand, God said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God said, listen, I knew you from your mother's womb. God said, man, Sean, I've got a plan for you and I've got a purpose for you. And listen, I believe that God created me a man for his plan and for his purpose. So when someone comes to a place to say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe that. I think God made me a man or God made me a female, but I think God made a mistake. Boy, you're in dangerous ground that you're mocking God. God says, no, wait a minute, hold on. There's male and there's female. This is the way I've set it up from creation. This is the way I've set it up from the beginning. There's mother and there's father. There's husband and their wife. There's brother and their sister. There's son and there's daughter. Everything defines 2 genders biblically, a male and a female. But we get so confused in the emotion of today. Can we just please just not make it complicated? Can we go back to the simplicity of Scripture? Can we come back to the simplicity of just the simple parts of Scripture? And you know what? It's amazing is people want to debate this. People want to debate sin in the church. There's no debate, but hey, listen, if you got married and you're sleeping around on your wife, let's debate that. Well, that's why. Everyone knows, don't do that. If you're stealing or you're robbing and you walk in someone's house and you try to take all their goods, like, we don't need to debate that. That's sin. That's wrong. Don't do that. You're stealing. But when you try to get into issues like this that are clear in Scripture, we don't debate this. It's like walking outside with an umbrella in pouring rain where I would say, man, it's really raining hard. No, it's not raining. No, you're holding an umbrella and it's pouring on you. It's raining. No, I don't think so. Why are we debating this? It's raining. But you come to this place where people want to debate this. Listen, if you want to have a debate or a conversation on pre, mid, or post-tribulation, you want to have a conversation on spiritual gifts for today, you want to have a conversation on theological things, that's amazing. And we can have great debates over that. And we can have, listen, this is what you want to talk about baptism, whether you got hit with a squirt gun or you got dunked, like immersion. Like, we can have a great debate on whether you're baptized or not. But you don't debate sin. And you come to a place to see where we're at in this nation today, where, let me just read this executive order, and this is, I want you to see this. Executive Order 13988, and if you could, okay, it's up. We even color coordinated it for you. Of January 20th, 2021, this is the day that our president put his hand on the Bible and was sworn in. And then he pens this. The preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. And it is our foundation, church, that we believe there are two genders, male and female, God-given. Anything outside of that is a mockery of God's purpose and his plan for you. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered as follows. Section 1 policy, every person should be treated with respect and dignity. I like that. And should be able to live without fear. Own that right there. Hear that. Live without fear, no matter who they are or whom they love. Children, take note of this, please. People, take note of this. He identifies in this executive order the difference between children and adults. And there's no age giving here, but I don't account college students who are living on their own, doing their own thing, as children. This is children. So when he doesn't put an age to this, you have to begin to identify at what point is he speaking of adults and at what point is he speaking of children, because this is huge. This is so important. I didn't write this. The president wrote this. Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether, watch this, whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room. What happens in a locker room? Restroom, the locker room, or school sports. So he's talking about children who are in school. Let's identify this. Children who are in school. But yet he says, I'm writing this so that nobody has to be in fear. So you've got, and again, this has been very widely known over the last several weeks since he wrote this in order. Man, I got to bring it back to here so I can focus, because that's what they said. Stay focused. Get at your table, Sean. I wandered a little bit in the first service, like, get back to your table. Listen, when you understand the reality of him speaking in regards to school-age children, that says there shouldn't be any discrimination. And he ends this thing with all persons should receive equal treatment under the law, no matter their gender identity or sexual orientation. And he puts that in place with the children in school, that they can use any restroom, they can use any locker room, and they can play any sports that they want to. And listen, when you understand what's it mean to be a biological male compared to what means to be a biological female, listen, I love that God has created us equal value and equal worth. In God's amazing creation, not one is above the other. It's not like men, oh, you're so important, or women, oh, you're so important. No, equal value, equal worth, but different bodies, different strengths, right? We've got to understand that. We are different. And if you try to argue that you're different physically, look down. But I'm serious, because it's not confusing. It's not complicated. And when our president on the first day says, listen, any natural born man who feels like a female that day can go in and use the restroom of watch this, of females who are children. What if a teacher all of a sudden feels like a female who's an adult and he wants to go in and use the locker room after the girls' basketball game? Who's going to say no to that? Seriously, what if it's a teacher as I'm feeling like a female today. And he goes in the locker room after a girls' volleyball game and they're all showering and he wants to go in and take a shower. Why are we so confused, church? That this is what it says. Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to restrooms, locker rooms, or sports. And when you begin to break this down and understand this, it's not that complicated. But this is day one, January 20th, one of the executive orders signed in that day to say that that's okay. But yet, the premise is that they would be able to live without fear. I'm sorry, what about the young girl who's just trying to shower? What about the young girl who's just trying to go to the bathroom? Is she not afraid now? What about her conscience? What about her mindset? What about her psychology? What about her fear? If some dude wants to walk in and use the shower, you tell me that she wouldn't be afraid? Church, we're coming to a place where the rest of this in regards to adults and work, what happens? This is hypothetical. What happens if you own a daycare and it's a Christian daycare and you really vet your workers and you're very careful on who works in this daycare because you are entrusted, watch this now, because you're entrusted with other people's children and they trust you with their kids. And all of a sudden some grown man walks in a dress with a beard and makeup and says, I'm going to work here. And you're like, no, I think that's not going to happen. They sue you and they win because you can't discriminate. But yet you are in charge of the well-being of these kids and parents have entrusted you with their children. But yet this wants to end any type of making a right decision going, no, I don't think that you're a good fit for my daycare, where the government would come in and say, sorry, you have to hire him or her or whatever it would be at the moment. I'm not sure. I'm always going by the natural born because I'm not going to mock God. If you're born a man, guess what? I'm calling you him. Because that's what God created you to be, and I'm not going to question that. But yet, this dude wants to wear a dress and wear makeup, but yet have a beard, and it's just like that's not going to scare any of the kids. And then you're going to lose your business because the parents are like, nope, sorry, we're not taking our kids there. But yet, it's my business. I've worked hard for this business. This is America. This is my business. Not according to certain executive orders, it's not. Hey, church, where is it that we come to this place to have our freedom and to be able to run your personal business the way that you want to run your business? Because guess what? It's your business. You have worked hard for that business. But this is where this is headed in that sense of a transgender mindset. Joe Biden said in 2012, the biggest civil rights issue, 2012, this should be no surprise to us, will be the transgender issue, will bring a civil war, will be the biggest civil issue, the separation. This is what Joe Biden said in 2012. We shouldn't be surprised by this. And we do have the most liberal president and vice president who sits in the office today. Next week, we will get into the abortion issue and go deep on that. And just the things that they want to set in order to change the freedom of abortion and to rearrange, it's called codify the Roe versus Wade, where once they codify that, Supreme Court can never overchange that. And now the federal government will begin to dictate to the states on what they're allowed to do or not allowed to do in regards to abortion. They wanna go after the Hyde Amendment, which now blocks our federal income, our taxes, our federal money to start funding Medicaid for abortion, for the purpose of abortion, that now we see it as murder and we see it as absolutely wrong, that it is absolutely violating what God has created, that you and I now have to start to pay for that from our taxes. This is what they want to do. I hope you realize that this is what's been voted in. And if you're one who didn't want to vote for Trump because you were mad at his mean tweets, oh, I didn't like Trump. He had mean tweets. Listen, I wasn't a big fan of a lot of what he said. But he was the most pro-life president we've had in that White House in modern history. He is the one who stopped payment to Planned Parenthood, which is an evil organization. And they're going to reopen that door that's already in process, that they're reopening funding going to Planned Parenthood, which is just evil. Trump put an end to that. He stopped that. Like, there's, we could go on and on and on, but it's just crazy that people bought into, well, I don't like his tweets. He's mean. Seriously. We need to walk into place to really understand as the church who will stand on this book. Man, it breaks my heart that we have a president who puts his hand on this leather, on the holy word of God. And then in the same day, justifies killing more millions and millions, even more so, of the freedom of abortion, who justifies children walking into any bathroom and shower that they want to. Who justifies males, now natural born males and natural born males and their strength, being able to play female sports. We only got a couple minutes, I gotta fly. When you really begin, and listen, when you understand our president, and even through this whole COVID thing, what is the number one word he has used? It is the number one word he has used, science. It's science, it's biology, it's science, it's science. Well, how about you apply that to male and female bodies? Because it's science. We're different. We're physically different. Where when you have males playing female sports, can I ask a serious question? Where are all the feminists in a sense going, no, you know how hard we worked for female sports at the level that we've got to? Do you know how hard we had to work to have equal in sports? Do you know what we've labored over and what it cost us to get female sports at a place that now rivals male sports in attention and watching in college level, at a high school level? And it's beautiful and it's amazing. But when you start letting males, natural born males, play in female sports, it will begin to destroy that sport. Where are the feminists now to come out and say, wait a minute, we're not a fan of this because our women have worked so hard for this. Where are they? You can't have it both ways. There's a report that came out, and I want to read it so I'm accurate in the sense of the difference. And it has to do with the fastest woman in the world at the time. Let me just read this. How big is this performance gap? To take one example cited by the Connecticut female runners in their complaint against the Connecticut Intergalactic Athletic Conference, the fastest female sprinter in the world is an American sprinter named Allison Felix, a woman with more gold medals than Usain Bolt. Her lifetime best for the 400-meter run is 49.26 seconds. Based on a 2018 data, nearly 300 high school boys in the U.S. alone could beat it. There's a difference. Church, when do we come to a place to realize that we will walk in a place to say, God, we're going to have to hold our ground and we're going to have to stay strong and stay steadfast and we're going to have to walk in a place that the bubble is not in the middle in America anymore, church. Hasn't been for a while, but it's really starting to go. Society is really starting to get lopsided. From a biblical point of view. Let me rephrase that. Yes, it's from a biblical point of view, but it's also from a common sense point of view. It doesn't take much. Common sense. So what happens when society is so far off bubble that you and I, as true followers of Christ, we come to a place that our bubble stays in the center and that we stay centered on the word of God and let nothing come in that no other view, no political view, no popular view, no family view come in and hinder what God's view has always been. And these, please hear me, these are things that will come up and they will, and listen, there's already people that are fighting some of these executive orders and I'm praying for these to go through. I'm not the executive orders, that these lawsuits that are starting to come up going, no, that's a waste stretch of power. Nope, that's way over the top. Nope, you can't do that. And just in that sense of, I'm hoping that things start to get back into a place of balance again. But church, it is my responsibility. I love this and I close, and I know we're late. My responsibility to sit at this table as your pastor. and to be able to encourage us that there's so much that's not right. There's so much that's just wrong. And President Biden and President Harris, man, they showed us their hand. We knew exactly what they were standing on. This is absolutely no surprise. Let me say this, being very careful, but if you are truly a born-again believer and you didn't like Trump's tweets and you voted for this, I'm asking that you would come to a place to just check your spirit, please. I'm not a fan of a lot of what President Trump said. But I was a fan of his policies and what he stood on the Word of God. I was a fan that he wanted to bring back balance in America again of true freedom in business. That if you own your business, guess what? You own your business and the government can't tell you what to do with your business. Wouldn't that be amazing to get back to that? That's what I really liked. So if we come to a place, we go into this, and we're going to get into it next week. I just want to be reminded that we shouldn't be surprised by this. This isn't a surprise. And I've been waiting for a little bit to be able to communicate this. And I'm excited for next week. You might be in this place. You might be online going, you know what? I'm done. I'm not coming back. Well, you know where we stand then. God bless you. Because I promise you this, Believers Chapel, we will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will stand firm on the word of God in this house. And in that, we will see those. Come on! Amen! And if you need to give up your seat, then there will be somebody who's hungry for truth that will gladly have your seat. And I say that in love because I want us to understand the truth. Father, we love you. We thank you for your truth. I thank you for a church that we stand on your word unashamed. Not confusing. God, it's not complicated. It's simple. It's so simple. I pray as the society is so off-centered, I pray for every single one of us that our bubble would remain right balanced and that we will be so centered on your word that we are called to be separate and we are called to be different and you have set us apart and we need to own that. And we thank you for it. Protect us as we go forward. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Come on, I hope to see you next week, man. Let's get into it. Amen.